With all the news around the world, did you know The Mandalorian and Grogu, Star Wars, big return to movie screens around the world, had its red carpet premiere over the weekend? Did you know that it flopped harder than a fat man's swan dive at a 4th of July barbecue? And now, fears abound that the box office could deliver a stark rebuke and finally end KK's legacy with the cold stink of another Star Wars stumble as her final Pedro kiss goodbye.
And I sat by my dad's side 49 years ago watching Star Wars the first time, and tonight I'm getting to sit next to...
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, happy Sunday. Hope you're having a great one out there. We are here, and click that like button. Off we go with Variety. Zach Sharf says this, The Mandalorian and Grogu gets divided first reactions from a thrilling adventure to one of the weakest Star Wars movies and a snooze fest. Oh, no, this is not good, eh? Folks, tell us in the comments down below, what do you think is going to be the box office? What's going to be the box office for this movie? For Star Wars, and tell us too. What did you think about the Netflix deal last night? How was that? If we go down to the bottom, it says Star Wars has officially returned to the big screen, courtesy of The Mandalorian and Grogu, and members of the film press. The film press, of course, are calling the franchise's comeback a thrilling adventure, a perfect summer movie, a lot of fun. But overall reactions are divided. Now, why would the film press have a different response then audiences? Oh, I can't think of any other movies this summer that have done that. Can you? Quote, it's less about the lore and more of a fun, freaky romp across the galaxy. I really dug that about it. Fandango's Eric Davis posted on X. Also really dug Ludwig Göransson's score, especially the parts that felt like an homage to 80s synth-driven horror and action thrillers. Yeah, that's going to work out well for Star Wars. Everybody's going to love that. Puck News box office columnist Scott Mendelson. Scotty, did you find your way to Puck? Oh my gosh, Scott is at Puck now? Ho, 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 ho. If you don't know Scott, you'll find out more about Scott now. We'll talk about Scott. But for now, Scott says it's a solid line drive past second base with lots of neat. Haven't seen that in a Star Wars before charm. There is no bigger condemnation than if Scott Mendelson likes something. I'm not trying to be mean to Scott. I'm just saying, Scott Mendelson has a talent. The man has a talent that is seldom seen anywhere, and that is the man loves everything that audiences hate. He loves it. Again, I'm not trying to be mean to Scott. He's a great barometer, right? It's like when Kramer tells you to buy a stock. Sell that sucker as fast as you can. Oh, Scotty, be still my heart. He's at Puck News. More mixed reactions came courtesy of IO9's Jermaine Lussier, who said the movie feels like a longer, bigger episode of the show. Uh-oh. It's a longer, bigger episode of the show. Wait a minute. IO9 is supposed to be writing kind things about Lucasfilm and Disney. Quote, it has one or two standout scenes, but it feels much more interested in developing the story to new locations with new creatures than the characters. Enjoyed some of it, left frustrated by the Collider's Perry shared criticism of Rod of the... What is going on here? Rod of the Hutt, voiced by the Bear Emmy winner Jeremy Allen White. Live-action Hutts are a challenge to pull off, a gladiator Hutt even more so, and it didn't help that Rod's dialogue was often too on the nose. Oh, noes. Boy, let's go to the real peeps, okay? Let's go to the new media, not the legacy media, not the access media. Okay, what's the new media say? Jonathan Sims says, The Mandalorian and Grogu is one of the weakest Star Wars movies. This is the takeaway from the premiere. An emotionless, predictable experience that doesn't push Din anywhere interesting. Dull, unexciting fight scenes, CGI monsters, action figures mashed together, a long, colorless, made-for-TV movie. Griffin Schiller. Boy, that's an unfortunate name in this industry, isn't it? But Griffin, you're no shill to us, okay? Mr. Schiller. They call me Mr. Schiller. Mr. Schiller, who is not part of the access media, says, Mandalorian Grogu is fine. An inoffensive, technically impressive spectacle that's kind of a snooze fest. Very much structured like an abridged season of the TV show. which unfortunately plays like watching the cutscenes of a Star Wars video game instead of playing one. The expansion of the canvas unfortunately exposes the weakness in the writing and lack of emotional connection I felt for much of the series. Favreau, John that is, has the touch. If only someone else wrote the script. Do you all know who wrote the script? Do you all know? Dave Filoni wrote the script. See, John wrote the fourth season of The Mandalorian. Filoni adapted this for the movie. He adapted the fourth season for the movie. Now, they've tried to clean that up a little bit, but Dave Filoni is responsible. So as we go through this, folks, you know, the legacy media, the headlines from the trades are what they are, and they're going to say what they got to say to try to prop up Save Star Wars. They got an industry to try to, you know, work with here. Project Hail Mary by itself just can't do it all. It can't do all the heavy lifting. Michael can't do it all, right? Okay. I just want to share with you. Some people think that I take joy in the failures of Disney. I do not. Okay? Watch the video later today. I'll show you some more of that. But I want to show you, John Favreau stepped out. And I felt this heartwarming and sincere. And it gave me insight into why he puts up with what he puts up with. You all know that I can't believe that this man has been hijacked by first Kathleen Kennedy and then Dave Filoni. He came in and made authentically awesome first two seasons of the Mandalorian. And then the stuff with Gina happened. And then we couldn't have Luke Skywalker actually be in stuff. So we had to backtrack and backpedal and get him out with Boba Fett. And I wondered, why? Why does this man put up with this kind of nonsense? And then he stepped out. And I think this is on purpose. I think John knows he's got a stinker. I think he knows there's nothing he can do about said stinker. But John comes out and I think explains to the world why he's still there. And I think it's going to be touching to you. Let's play it.
I got to see Star Wars when I was 10 years old. And that movie changed my life from that first shot. And my dad took me to see it. I sat by his side. He pointed things out, explained to me how cool it was that the X-Wings had oil stains. He later taught me about Kurosawa and all the influences, Hidden Fortress, all the influences. And opened the door for me to love not just Star Wars, but cinema. And I sat by my dad's side 49 years ago watching Star Wars the first time, and tonight I'm getting to sit next to my dad and watch this movie. Without my dad, I don't know if we'd have any of this. So thanks for sharing with your son your love of movies and being a good dad. And this movie is about a guy who I like to think of as a good dad, too. All right.
So there you go. Folks, if you've been wondering, why does John Favreau put up with this? Why does he deal with Kathleen Kennedy? Why does he deal with Dave Filoni, this guy who, you know, God bless his heart, but he's not up to John Favreau's level, yet he's John Favreau's boss. Why does he put up with this? And there's your answer. He's willing, I believe, to even suffer through and of no desire of his own. He doesn't want a box office flop to his name. He's a legend. So why would he do this? A love letter to his dad. What he's trying to do, the reason he stepped in to try to save Star Wars, remember he said when he came in to do The Mandalorian season one, he said that he had called Disney and said, I think I can help you with this. He's trying to save something that he saw as a 10-year-old with his dad. He's trying to save that. John Favreau is one of you in so many ways. He's like Lorne. This is a man who grew up with this. It's embedded into him. It's why he does cinema, and he wanted to save it. And I think he still wants to save it. But he's got to get these people out of his way, and so far, Disney has not cleared the path for him. So when we talk about, you know, does Pro enjoy the Mandalorian and Grogu premiere flopping, the movie being bad, and probably, I mean, I haven't reviewed it yet. I'll review it live. You'll all get access to that. The box office for this could be terrible. Why would Jon Favreau go through that? And the answer is, this is his first cinematic love. And it's even more than that. It's a passion that he discovered with his father, sitting side by side. Once you figure that out, ladies and gentlemen, you understand Jon Favreau and why he's there. And up until now, I didn't understand it. You didn't understand it. But now you do. The Hollywood Reporter shares some imagery here. We'll turn the audio off, of them gathered together. And you got to think, poor Favreau. We've heard issues on the set with Pedro, right? Poor Favreau, sandwiched between two guys who just can't get it together. Pedro and then Filoni beside him. And he's got to play nice. He's got to do everything he can. And why? Because ultimately, this guy is trying to save Star Wars. And, I wouldn't have believed that until I heard that. And now I get it. Now I get it. This is why he stepped into cinema. And yet, The Hollywood Reporter. We'll go back to reality, okay? Here's where we are. This is why Disney has to step in. And maybe that's what the executives did and said, Filoni, John's going to cook from here on out. We're not going to step in his way. We're not going to get in his way. John's going to cook. We're going to get rid of the sequel trilogy. However we have to do it, John's going to cook. Hollywood Reporter said Jon Favreau's The Mandalorian Grogu held its first press screenings on Thursday night, and the early reaction on social media seems rather muted. Again, you don't want this from the trades, because the trades, their job is to push this stuff. Their job is to get this out and get the industry going. You can say, oh, this is press, bro. These are reporters. No, this isn't journalism, right? The trades are called the trades for a reason. They don't want their industry to die. They are publications of and in the industry. And yet Abid Rahman can't get away from this. Says, you see the headline. It's a little bit different. Let's read it. Jon Favreau's The Mandalorian Grogu held its first press screenings on Thursday night, and the early reaction on social media seems rather muted. While official critics' reviews for The Mandalorian Grogu are embargoed until the 19th, to the movie's release date of 22nd, which, by the way, you know, it will come out the 21st, Disney's Lucasfilm allowed press to release brief social media reaction after the screenings. The film is the first feature-length Star Wars. You all know that. We don't have to read that, right? Let's see. Where do we go here? Peter Serretta says, The Mandalorian Grogu, the marketing had me worried, but this movie is actually a lot of fun. Yes, it does feel like a supersized, high-budget few episodes of the TV show. Oh, boy. Eric Davis says, Star Wars is back on the big screen. It's a thrilling adventure full of big fights, gnarly creatures, and plenty of adorable Grogu. It's less about the lore and more of a fun, freaky romp across the galaxy. Tom says, The Mandalorian Grogu is thankfully a Star Wars adventure worthy of the big screen that offers plenty of galactic fun for the whole family. Okay. Maybe, right? Says Simon says, it's a grin-inducing crowd pleaser. Do you all see the difference when we go to the trades, how they do this? You got to think that all these people, right, they've got a vested interest in saying the right things. Yeah. It's irresistibly cute. There you go. Perry. Anyway, Perry said what she's going to say, right? She's been honest about it. But the Hollywood Reporter is saying it's got muted reactions. And I think that's the industry defense right now. It's not a bad movie, says Hollywood. It's not. They're not going to slam it before it comes out. But they are going to give themselves an out. And the out they're going to give themselves is, it's got muted response right now. It may not do well. It's muted. Maybe Star Wars is, it's going to take a while to restart it, you know? And they're not going to admit, oh boy, this is not, it's not going well. And you know what else they're not going to admit? They're not going to tell you whose fault it is. Now, I'm worried about this. I'll tell you. I am worried because I'm worried that Jon Favreau is going to take the blame. And he doesn't deserve any of the blame here. I just want to be totally clear. This man has had, and I'm not going to go into the sourcing. I'm not going to go into who says what. I'm just going to tell you. This man has had all of his ideas and concepts totally hijacked. He came in wanting to do The Mandalorian Grogu, and it turned into the Filoni-verse. It turned into the Filoni-verse, and everything, every series he thought would be cool became a way to promote Filoni's characters and go into this Thrawn, you know, they thought they were going to get a movie. They may still. They got to get a wrap-up thing going. But all these Filoni characters, every step of the way, Kathleen Kennedy and Dave Filoni, and what else are we going to do besides making it the Filoni-verse instead of the Mando-verse? Well, we're also going to do the Acolyte. And by the way, all those people out there saying, please give us a season two, these idiots, these morons, you know, that hated the first season, they're a small vocal minority. Listen, I join you. Please. I need that Acolyte money. Please make a second season, Disney. Make a third, make a fourth. Okay, well, I might have diminishing returns for me by the fourth, but go for a second. I can do a second. Okay. Lorne will sit there and watch it. I'm sure he will. Come on, Lauren. You got to do it for the channel, man. Anyway, John Favreau has been subverted at every single point. He should not be the guy who takes the blame here. This is Dave Filoni. This is Kathleen Kennedy. This is Bob Iger. Remember that Favreau is under contract to produce this movie, because this movie is the retrofitting of season 4 into a silver screen thing. And all the notes that John Favreau had about season 4 were taken and redone into a script by Dave Filoni. That's why they're both credited as writers. Favreau wrote the season 4. Filoni took it and adapted it for a movie. Essentially, we hear taking the finale, the final two episodes, and converting that into this. The problem? How do you turn that into a movie? How do you skip every single episode until the final two and then make that into a movie and also strip out everything that connects it with the broader Star Wars universe? Well, that might be why you're going to get some rather unpleasant reviews. And we've heard from people. Listen, I'll do my own review and I'll go in with wide eyes. I will go in with fairness, unbiased, professional pro, as you've come to expect. But I'm not expecting much, I hate to say. Because the people we trust that have seen it said, it's going to be hard for this to have legs. All right? Kind of like you've never seen Grogu's legs. You may not see The Mandalorian have legs at the box office. The premiere, though, a total flop. And the reason? Because nobody's talking about it. If you want to know, why is The Mandalorian premiere a flop? Because you can argue with me. You can say, well, pro, actually, lots of people like it. You're just being negative. How many people in the world, in the real world, even knew it had a premiere? 7 years. 7 years we've been waiting. How many people even knew that there was a premiere? That's why we've got a problem. That's why Star Wars is in trouble. All right, folks, it's your turn. Click that like button, share, subscribe, drop a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts. And until the next time, get ready. It's a heck of a ride this week. Star Wars, The Mandalorian live review coming out Thursday night. Be there in 10 days until I go live on camera. All right, keep learning, keep growing, and keep having fun.
Are you sick and tired of stuff being swept under the rug because you or the media are too lazy to actually deal with it? Or are things just building up around you so much that you can no longer ignore it? Also like the mainstream media? Well, I got the solution for you. I'm Wilton the Troll, and I want to tell you about this revolutionary new product called Jonif. That's right, no longer do you have to put up with stuff shoved under the rug. You can actually get rid of it and dispose of the problem in seconds by using Jonif. You can, in a matter of seconds, deal with the political and illogical buildup of the muck and grime around you effectively and efficiently with Jonif. You might think this is an ordinary vacuum, but you'd be wrong. You can clean up and remove from one end, but Jonif, he actually works from both ends. From the back end, Jonif can blow a whole bunch of hot air, and that's cool. Remember, folks, if you actually want to deal with the dirt and grime the mainstream media has been neglectful about, get Jonif, because Jonif sucks.